Go to the Word Radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 24. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Now, deceiving the very elect. Think about that. It says God's got some way of preserving us from being completely deceived. But the Bible says over and again in the epistles during the church age, be not deceived, brethren, because it is possible for you and I to be deceived. Understand this as well. If you're deceived, you don't know it. So that's why you ought to open your day every day thinking, Lord God, help me to love and help me to see clearly. Because it's very much the devil's job to try to deceive us. And one of the ways he deceives believers is to get us completely entangled in political activity rather than spiritual activity. You see, if you're absorbed with the political and not with the spiritual, you give up a whole lot of time. And we can't be giving up a whole lot of time. That doesn't mean you can't use the political to segue to the spiritual, and I think that's probably a wise use of the thing, but do not get caught up in the anger and the angst of the political side and ask yourself, what was I even thinking about the spiritual? You and I have to be real careful. If you're more animated about political things than you are about spiritual things, can I say to you, it's time to pray. Get in your closet and say, God, fix this. This is not how it's supposed to be. This is not what you want from me. You don't want me to be angry politically. You want me to be animated spiritually. That's what he wants. And if it's not, and you know, this is an easy one, right? The mirror is easy to discern. So let's get more fired up about Christ and his kingdom and souls and get on God's page, and we'll be much more peaceful as a result. The Bible says in verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming? He says it's going to be like lightning. He says when he comes, he's going to come like lightning. It's going to come with the clouds. The Bible says in verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Do you see what he just did? He went right to the end of the tribulation, and he told him about his coming, and he told him about the great supper of our God, which is where the birds are called to eat all of the carnage and get rid of the battlefield nasty so that we can get on with the marriage supper of the Lamb. But the great supper of our God is for the birds, and the marriage supper of the Lamb is for the believers and for the new generation that will go into the millennial kingdom. Verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. See what he did? He just backtracked a little bit, just a little bit, because he's not going away from it. But he's saying all this stuff is going to happen. And here's a synopsis of some of the things that are going to happen before he comes and before the birds are coming to eat the carnage. The Bible says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light. It says, stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. Now notice, he's just given them the coming of the Lord's picture, and then now he's saying that the sign of the coming of the Son of Man is there as well. So he just went back over it in a quick review. After the tribulation, you have the great tribulation. And the great tribulation is where the bold judgments are poured out, and that is what is entailed in that quick synopsis in verse 29. So we see, then they shall see the Son of Man coming. Look at this. It says, they shall see. The entire earth and the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Why? Well, not because they missed him, because this is the entire earth, but because they missed heaven. It will be completely clear to them that they are lost. They are lost. He's going to get to the separating of the sheep and the goats here in a minute, but these people who are mourning are going to be people who are mourning over their own sin. Now, we also know that Israel's going to see him, and they're going to mourn, but they're going to mourn for him as an only son. They're going to look at him and think, he was our Messiah all along, and what were we thinking? And what were our fathers thinking? And they're going to mourn, but the earth is going to mourn, perhaps for their own destruction, which would be now very much inevitable. And the Bible says in verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Wow, what a day that's going to be. And he shall send his angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now, this is very important. I just want to distinguish this for you. Many times you will read about how the Bible tells us, and it tells us on down. I'm going to skip a little bit to get to it. Verse 40 says, "Then shall be two in the field, and one shall be taken." That's where this picks up the thought. The rest is parenthetical. He gives them a parable of the fig tree, right? But this is where it gets parenthetical. Get that out of the way, and he gets back on track and says, "Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left." What's that taken? It's not the rapture. That's when Jesus comes to gather the people together and then separates them as the sheep from the goats. In other words, these angels are gathering all the people who were real, true-born believers through the tribulation, who were enduring, many of them scorched, many of them burning, many of them thirsty. Why? Because they went through the tribulation. They're coming out like Leroy Brown with a couple pieces missing. Bible says he's going to heal them up, and he's going to say, "Welcome to the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the earth." And that's in chapter 25. "Two women shall be grinding in the mill, one shall be taken, one left. Watch ye therefore," verse 42, "for you know not what hour the Lord shall come. But know this, that if you knew about the thief coming, you'd have been ready. Be ye also ready." Now that thief thing is a touchstone for us, isn't it? A little trigger to our minds. The Bible says he comes as a thief in the night in Thessalonians. And here we find it says, if they'd known about the thief would come, they would have watched. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over all of his household? Whoever he shall find so doing as he's told him to do," in verse 26. "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." So doing what? Verse 42, "Watch therefore." Watch. That means literally, stay awake. Stay awake. Church, stay awake. You know, don't drink the Kool-Aid, okay? Stay awake. The world's got a lot of deception. Got a lot of wickedness, got a lot of iniquity. Lawlessness is the word. Lawlessness is going to abound. The love of many is going to wax cold. You and I need to, number one, love. Number two, we need to stay awake. We need to be so conscious, because the Bible tells us that that's what we're here for right now. Now, I want to say to you as I wind down, because it says it's going to be as in the days of Noah, that it's going to be like in the days of Lot, you know, wickedness of Lot's day, the ignorance of Noah's day, the flood's coming. But what we have right now is we have birth pangs. But these birth pangs are for the kingdom. You see, what's happening is, it's almost like God is pushing us aside, little by little, for the inevitable moment of the rapture, so that Israel can get back on the stage of history. Think about it. The time of Jacob's trouble. They're going to hate them. Now, they hate us too, because we're God's people. But this is about Israel. Jesus is coming to set up a millennial kingdom. And for you and for me, we need to recognize that if we're seeing a lot of this stuff happen that are Israel's issues, then you and I are the only thing restraining. I'm excited, beloved. It could be just over yonder. When old Gabriel puckers his lips, blows that trumpet, and the Lord Jesus himself descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, we who are here on earth are caught up into the heavens, and we will be ever with the Lord. That's what we're looking for. I'm telling you guys, we are really seeing some exciting things, and I want you to get excited about them. It'll help you to love. And it'll help you to be soul conscious, and it'll help you to stay awake. Well, here endeth the lesson today. And I want to just have us take a moment to bow and ask God to take what we've heard and seal it to our hearts. As we bow, and before I pray, I just want you to do a little self-examination. Nobody gets to heaven by their good works. Nobody gets to heaven because of their bank account. Nobody gets to heaven because, well, they're a good person. They did good. They did more good than evil. All of those things are part of the deception. The only way a person gets to heaven is by trusting Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone. That's it. If you've never personally put your faith in Jesus, may I say to you, you need to do that. And you need to do it now. Don't wait. Strong delusion is coming. If you can say no to God when He speaks to you and stirs your heart time and again, you'll find that it gets easier. So I want to suggest that you go back to the cross, look at it thoughtfully, prayerfully, and realize that that was for you. With all of you sitting there in your cars, maybe looking down, praying, if you're a child of God, praying that maybe somebody here today might not be saved, pray for them. Pray, Lord, if somebody's here not saved, pray for them right now. Believer, pray for them right now. If you're not saved today, I want to ask you to come to Jesus. I want to ask you to pray. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe today you'd like to just reach out and take the gift of eternal life. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. Would you do that today? Let me lead you in a prayer. If you'd like to be saved today and you'd like to get that thing settled, I want you to pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know it. I know I'm a sinner. And I know I deserve judgment. I know I deserve to be cast right into that tribulation that's coming. But I ask you to forgive me for my sin. I believe Jesus died for my sin. I believe He loves me. And I believe He died for me. And I ask you to forgive me. To take me into your family. To give me the gift of eternal life. And help me to walk free of the sin that I've so aggressively served. Set me free from the good works idea that maybe I've nursed. Set me free from any deception that I've embraced. And bring me into your family for Jesus' sake. Lord Jesus, save me, I pray. I call on your name today for salvation. And I take you at your word that if we call, we'll be saved. So I thank you now for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. And for those of us who are here today as God's children, let me continue in prayer. Dear Father, I pray that all of us would realize that we have a role to play. We have a duty. We have a job to do. And I pray, Father, that we would come to you humbly and willingly with a heart that's willing to serve, that we would put tracts in our pockets, that we would go, Father, looking at our world with spirit eyes rather than political eyes. That, Father, we would be people who would be more mindful that these are the days of ingathering. That, Father, the harvest is truly plenteous. Laborers are few. Send each one of us. I pray, Father, that you would help us to love our neighbor and love our brethren and even love our enemies. And, Father, I pray that we would be more like Jesus in these days than we've ever been. I pray that our roots would go deeper. I pray that our hearts would be stirred. And I pray that our fervor and our zeal, Father, would know no bounds. Lord, we are your people, Lord. I pray that we would remember your admonition, Father, that they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Father, may those of us who are older be those who are running, Father, even when we should just be walking. May we still be running. Father, those that are the youngest, may they mount up with wings. Father, young people here today, I pray they would get fire in their bosom, that they would fall in love with Jesus, and that they would let nothing stop them from following Jesus in these days. These are the great days, Father, that are before us. You've given them to us, not to another generation, to us. And I just pray, Father, that we would faithfully pick up the mantle, do all that we can to bring other people to Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.